The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KAOS, nor anyone associated with KAOS. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide? Nah, just kidding. We're not some fascist regime. Seriously though, do you? Unfortunately, encryption makes it hard for us to spy on you these days. So just to make sure, we're introducing yet another law to expand the surveillance state. Introducing the Assistance and Access Bill, or ASACCESS for short. Oh, relax. Despite how it sounds, we're not trying to access your data through your back door. We're just after the keys to your front door. Yep, ASACCESS will force tech companies to do our dirty work for us. For example, by making them insert a little secret sauce in their app, which lets us access your device once you download the latest update. And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them. ASACCESS. It doesn't break encryption, only your trust in your favourite apps. To bring you ASACCESS, we've taken the UK's fascist spying law and made it even more fascist by removing any need for judicial oversight. But don't worry, we promise to only spy on you if reasonable and proportionate. And you know you can trust us. We're the same cunts who doxed a welfare recipient for criticising us, who are prosecuting a whistleblower for exposing our misconduct, who throw kids in concentration camps for seeking asylum, and prosecute the journalists who report on them, and who gave $500 million of your tax dollars to a foundation full of our friends. So of course you can count on us to be reasonable and proportionate. And if we're not, well, you'll never hear about it. Because we've also introduced a 10-year jail sentence for any Snowden wannabes who disclose our abuse of ASACCESS. ASACCESS. Brought to you by Australia, where the laws of dickheads can't trump the laws of math, but they can trample human rights. Which is why, to test this shitfuckery, we chose Australia, the weakest of the Five Eyes Alliance, thanks to our lack of a Bill of Rights. So international data requests will now be funneled through us, compromising not just Aussies, but all of you fuckers too. You're welcome. We'd love to know what you think of ASACCESS, so we've set up a public submission system where, for a limited time, you can protest our next step towards a fucked up dystopia. Australian government. Relax, we're not after your dick pics, just the last shreds of your civil liberties. Authorised by the Department of Home Affairs.
All right, and we're back. So, in the first half of the show, we covered racism. Let's start off the second half with sexism. It turns out that female Uber drivers make 7% less per hour than male Uber drivers do. Right. And if that fact actually surprises anyone, then said surprise is probably due to how small that pay gap is compared to the overall population at large, especially since several members of the upper Uber management recently had their asses handed to them by Me Too, who sent those sexually predatory asses packing. Well, it turns out that in this case, that gender pay gap is not Uber's fault. Now, that doesn't mean that Uber is actually really nice, or that you would want your daughter dating Uber, but we cannot be laying false blame even upon such a deserving target. And it turns out that Uber's dispatch system is literally gender neutral. Neither the computers nor the dispatchers know the gender of any given driver. In addition, since Uber drivers are famously non-unionized, then that pay is the same for all Uber drivers, based strictly upon their performance. And that pay is not negotiated. Which means that Uber's pay system is also gender neutral. So what's up with that pay gap? Since large-scale gender-neutral systems are so rare, researchers eagerly descended upon Uber's numbers and records and researched that very question. And here's what they came up with. About a quarter of that pay gap is due to the fact that men work in the more lucrative areas of town. And part of that fact is due to the related fact that yet another quarter of that pay gap is due to the fact that there is much more turnover amongst female drivers than there is for male drivers. And the more experience that an Uber driver has, then the more tricks and shortcuts they learn, including the ability of figuring out where the better paying areas of town are. And thus they tend to become much more efficient with their time. And third, this fact is going to make misogynistic sexists the world over celebrate and rejoice. Fully half of that pay gap is due to the fact that men simply drive faster and more aggressively than women do, and thus get there faster. And yet, in spite of that, women still get into more accidents per mile than men do. And so, the woman driver stereotype turns out to have a little more substance than just some baseless, sexist bullshit. So I guess I will need to add that to my short list of things wherein men are superior to women. For instance, men are better than women at being boy toys. Men are better at retrieving things from tall shelves. And men are better at kicking people's asses. And now, evidently, men are also better drivers than women are. That's all I've come up with so far, though. In pretty much all other fields, us dudes had probably still better watch our backs, or I suspect that we're likely to become somewhat evolutionarily irrelevant sometime in some not-so-distant future generation. In 1988, the National Rainbow Gathering of the Tribes was held in Southeast Texas. Now, I had been to Southeast Texas. Texas, in fact, has a rather legendary place in my personal reality, in that after having traveled all over North America more times than I can count, with the notable exception of Austin, I consider the entire state of Texas to be my very favorite place in the whole world to not be. I was not the only one to predict that if the gathering were held in Texas, the Texans would start shooting hippies. However, in 1988, the United States Forest Service pulled out all the stops to stop the Rainbow Gathering. I attended the seed camp that year, and there were more Texas state troopers at the seed camp than there were hippies. However, there were also more reporters at the seed camp than there were hippies. For as a result of our epic battle, we were front page news in every newspaper in Texas for the entire month of June that year. And as a result of all this publicity, what the locals saw was us standing right up to the feds and spitting in their eye. And it turns out that Texans evidently hate feds even more than they hate hippies, because they were loving our shite. I personally saw one local, complete with a 10-gallon cowboy hat and rhinestone-encrusted cowboy boots, get right into the faces of the state police at one of their roadblocks, asking them, "Where the hell is your Texas hospitality? These folks are our visitors. Didn't your mama teach you any manners?" So I have attended 13 national rainbow gatherings, and never have the locals been more warm-hearted, friendlier, more generous, and more supportive than those people in Texas were. So most of you probably have a stereotype of Tea Partiers and Trump supporters. I suspect that while it would certainly be possible to find representational examples of such stereotypes, I also suspect that on the whole, many of those people might surprise you. I actually attended 2 Tea Party rallies during their heyday. The first was attended mostly by working people who seemed more scared than angry, and I had a lot of very interesting conversations with several of them, and I think I even opened a few eyes of a couple of folks that had been seeking some answers that made sense. The second Tea Party rally I attended, though, reminded me of a 5-minute hate from the novel 1984. It was a bunch of angry white suits screaming hatred and bigotry and blaming school teachers and unions for all of our ills. The Tea Party was eventually bought and paid for, but especially at first, there was actually a massive grassroots push behind it. And I suspect that we have a lot more in common with a lot of Tea Partiers, as well as a lot of Trump supporters, than either side realizes. And it would be really good if we could all get together and work together against our common enemy. So that's it for the news and commentary section this week. And that means it's time to get to work. All right. That's it for the news and commentary section this week. Got a couple of quick notes I would like to share with you. This radio station is brought to you by you. And this radio station is in the middle of their fund drive. If you listen to this station, and if you've got a few bucks you could spare, you may want to consider making a donation. It goes to a good cause. The Thunderbolt calendar is temporarily suspended until it is safe to venture out into our world again. So what say we fill out the rest of the hour with some music? This is a band I only discovered a couple of years ago, and they have the somewhat bizarre nom de guerre of Colonel Claypool's Bucket of Bernie Brains. And their music is just as crazy as their name. Enjoy! Oh, my God.
pressure. And once that pin party starts to spread, look at the door. Look at the door.
In the light, finding it much soother in the night, with his face as pale as pancakes and his posture in rebellion with his height. He was raised to respect father, he was loving to his ma, being kind to all the children and the animals he saw. In his youth he looked at Jackal with gleaming admiration, moonwalking through the gardens of his Disneyland vacation.
Then he took the bat at last, and he grew into its face, and he gave him the temerity to join the human race. He stood like great Ulysses with guitar in his hand, pledging to deflate the synagogue that played the glory lion.
Yeah. People came to know him as a man of noble cause, ignoring eccentricities and interactive flaws. The ones that knew him best were the ones that called him kind, clueless to the depth of his complicated mind.
But when he takes a bad glass and he blows it to his face, he gives him the temerity to join the human race. Standing up like Red Ulysses with the star in his hand, pledging to reclaim the civic earth.
Called Buckethead, and before that we had Junior, both of those from Colonel Claypool's Bucket of Bernie Brains. What a name. So they say that crisis creates opportunity, and if they know what they're talking about, then we seem to have an opportunity made out of pure gold happening here now. We should really make the most of what is happening, and while that's probably always true, it becomes even truer under conditions of extreme uncertainty. But I am certain we'll be different coming out than we were going in. Once more, the views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. You can find the Thunderbolt archives at Dana98501.wordpress.com. That's Dana98501 which is the Downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. Hope to see you next week, and until then...
Thank you very much.